listening to Building Bridges with Ken Nash and myself, Mimi Rosenberg.
The centerfold of Trump's re-election campaign is about immigrant bashing and ginning up hate.
A la luz de la aurora, lo que tanto aclamamos, la noche al caer, sus estrellas, sus trazos,
sus estrellas.
This is just another manifestation of the bias, etc. It's endemic. It's part of every policy of the Trump administration. And we turn our attention to Trump's re-election campaign, which is about ginning up hate and the politics of xenophobia. And we are very pleased to have with us Mustafa Shifty, director of the Migration Policy Institute at New York University School of Law, whose work focuses on U.S. immigration policy at the federal, the state, and local levels, the intersection of labor and immigration law, immigrant enforcement, civil liberties, and immigration integration. He is also the former director of the Immigration Project of the Union of Needle Trades, the Industrial and Textile Employees Unite, and
Tom Sines, president and general counsel of MALDEF, Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund, which next year will celebrate more than 50 years of promoting the civil rights of all Latinos living in the U.S. Prior to that, he also served as a counsel to Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa, where he helped to lead the legislative effort to change the governance of Los Angeles Unified School District, the effect of which was to take the city a step closer to securing a quality education for all students in Los Angeles.
And I came into work today, and I am a legal aid attorney, and there were 5 to 6 of my clients whose cases, in terms of my representation, actually had little to nothing to do with immigration, though that's never quite true these days, but who were calling in a state of absolute panic about whether they should keep their court appearances because they had heard that there would be roundups of people. And indeed, we still in New York have been subject to ICE just prowling in the courts, in the criminal courts, in the family law courts, indeed in the housing court. And so with that, I want to begin our discussion. Tom, help give us the kind of lowdown or the reality. While Trump has said in his latest tweet that he would wait 2 weeks, he would postpone for 2 weeks any roundup of quote-unquote immigrant families, what is the reality of what this man, this administration, what ICE can do in terms of whether it's rounding up 2,000 immigrant families in what they're calling the Family Op program or the like? And then we'll get into really, of course, some of the politics. And I can't think of two better people to engage this discussion with and encourage both of you to really feed off of each other.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I think that what we are seeing is more of the same from this administration, which is the greatest effect is what you've described already, is creating an ongoing atmosphere of fear and chaos that has very real effects on people's lives who react to the fear that is very concertedly created by the president and by others in his administration, and make decisions about whether they should make court appearances, as you've described, whether they should seek the kind of support and kind of services that they or their children are clearly entitled to, whether they should continue to go about living their lives in the ways that they have done for years and years. And that has very real effects. And, of course, as you've indicated, that's tied to the politics. But in terms of what really could be done, we do know that there are constraints. Certainly, the capacity of ICE and HSI is a constraint. The capacity of the immigration courts are a constraint. That does not mean that they won't go about doing roundups. They won't go about trying to publicize the number of folks they are arresting and putting into detention. But it largely is mostly about creating the fear and the chaos that is palpably affecting so many millions of people across the country. And that's an effect regardless of where you live. So even in California, just as in New York, a state that is viewed as more welcoming of immigrants and more interested in integrating immigrants and that has fortunately enacted state laws to protect immigrants, there's still tremendous fear occasioned by the leader of the country engaging in a sort of psychological warfare against his own people.
Mustafa?
Glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Your thoughts on really the politics of this and bouncing off of what Tom is saying, well, it is cause for tremendous alarm. There are some legal checks, etc. But how are we supposed to understand this kind of game of cat and mouse, which in many ways, yes, it's used to gin up the base for Trump's reelection. But more than that, how do you view this?
Well, you know, it's hard to respond to anything that this president does in almost any policy arena, and certainly much more in immigration. But you can't sort of lose track of a couple of things. First of all, just how we are moving away so far from established norms, that the president of the United States essentially warns people that we're going to do raids 2 weeks ahead, and then say we're not going to do it, and then we're going to do it again. I mean, these kind of orders coming from the head of the executive has never happened before, that you keep immigration enforcement, however unpalatable it is, away from political considerations. And this president just always steeps it in political considerations. I don't think it was lost on any one of us that he issued the first tweet on the day when he was launching his reelection campaign in Florida. They didn't actually specify what the actual enforcement activity was going to be, which is one more discordance about this administration, because the rest of us who have to analyze it have to analyze supposed policy on the basis of tweets. And increasingly it looks like that members of his own administration have to sort of discern what the policy from the tweet means and how they could even begin to satisfy the president that his policies through the tweets are going to be implemented. So it's a very different terrain just on the basis of strict norms. And, you know, the last thing I want to say, there's something precious about these announcements, because about a year ago, they almost sought the resignation of the mayor of Portland when she chose to announce that there may be raids over a weekend in California, that this was sort of a violation of the norms of law enforcement. And here the president of the United States is issuing warnings that there will be raids and sort of not to see this in strange partisan politics, I think, is hard to see today.
Tom Steins, what does Donald Trump want in terms of immigration, in terms of the going after so many immigrants at this point? Does it have to do more with the refugee crisis, as he terms it? Does it have to do with immigration policy in Congress? What is he trying to get at this point?
I don't think he really wants anything in terms of policy change. I think he wants to motivate his base as he launches his reelection campaign, and as he perceives a need to motivate that base as he goes into primary season. I don't think Donald Trump has any sense of what current immigration policy is, much less what it ought to be. He seems to far too much defer to people like Stephen Miller, previously to Chris Kobach, and perhaps even today. And those are not reasoned perspectives. Those are perspectives that are simply punitive, that are simply policy that is really based on nativism. So I don't know that there is, from this administration, anything like a coherent policy vision on immigration issues, other than simply being punitive and scaring people as much as possible. Now, he certainly believes that beyond motivating the base, that scaring certain segments of the population, particularly the Latino community, is also to his political benefit, because he thinks it will potentially prevent Latinos from coming forward in droves to vote against him. I think he's wrong in that regard, but I do think he's been convinced that this psychological warfare that he engages in and then manifests in policy in the immigration arena as well as in other arenas like the Census 2020, but I think he's convinced himself that this has dual benefits for him, and it's all about politics, not really about coherent policy at all. I mean, I think it's a pattern we see in other areas as well. It's the same kind of coercive attempt at a threat that he's used in with tariff negotiations with Mexico and China, that he's now attempting to use with Congress with this threat about raids. It's a really very clear playbook at this point. It doesn't seem to be a particularly effective one, nor does it in any of these cases seem to have a real concrete aim or perspective on what the result should be.
Mustafa Shirsney, I wonder if you can really continue some of that which you developed and Tom has picked up on. And what I mean by that is it doesn't really appear that the Democrats or certainly the media have really drilled down deeply into what has been largely a public relations machinery that was set in motion by the various executive orders on immigration that have continuously been signed by President Trump. I mean, immigrants, refugees have been political fodder much more than any kind of a reality of what does he want? What does he want? He doesn't seem to want anything other than to use people as a springboard to, as we said, gin up hate. But if you could talk some more about that, and both of you, your continuing thoughts on what each other have to say about this. And I do want to tell our listeners again that we're speaking to Mustafa Shisse, who's the director of the Migration Policy Institute at New York University School of Law, and Tom Sines, President and General Counsel of the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, MALDEF.
Well, you know, to the extent that you can, there's any consistency about the president, you know, he really got elected on the basis of his stance on immigration. But we can't forget that. It's a playbill that worked extremely well for him. He had the right instinct, and it prevailed. So for me, for quite some time, I have believed that for the president, what's much more important is the narrative than the outcome. He's not interested in success. He's interested in real numbers. He's interested in success in the narrative. And that could be said for almost everything about the travel ban, about interior enforcement, about the wall. I mean, the wall has obviously not been built, but he has created a narrative among his base that the wall is being built. I mean, he said it in an open interview to Chuck Todd that, look, the wall is being built. So to the extent that as long as the narrative works for his base, I think that's where he's going to go each time. So the second thing about his instincts is that
after the orders are issued, they obviously haven't thought through the consequences of the orders. That's what happened in the separation of families announcement. It was a obviously feel good thing for the base that we're going to make have these very harsh punitive policies at the border. It's going to be a real deterrent. But they didn't understand what it meant to separate families, that you then had to have criminal prosecutions of the adults and you had to find shelters for the kids. Just hadn't thought through. I have a feeling that they probably hadn't thought through his last tweet about these supposed mass deportations, that once you decide to go and raid communities, then you inevitably will mean separating families. Many of these kids are born in the U.S., and there'll be TV cameras all over the communities. And then you have one more of a public relations specter, as you had in the separation of families. So not thinking through the instinct that he has, I think, proved to be what prevented them from doing this round of activity also.
Tom, nevertheless, people live in terror. There's not much that they can do about it. It just creates an emotional misery. It causes people to not go to necessary court appearances and numerous other things. And so what really is the legal community readying itself for, even if this is a public relations campaign, if this is that cat and mouse game that seems to define so much of Trump's behavior in a myriad of areas, the bullying tactic and then withdrawing and telling us that in 2 weeks that the Democrats don't do what, who knows, that we are going to be faced with these things again. What do we need to be on the ready for, and how do immigrants and immigrant family supporters, which we all should be as people of goodwill and people who are concerning about human rights, what is to be done?
Well, I do think it's important that we all unite in support of those who are victimized by these threats and the atmosphere of fear and chaos. And we can do that by supporting them in understanding their rights in as detailed a way as possible. Convincing them that they will not be alone if they choose, as they should, to exercise their rights. And that's not easy when you're facing a uniformed ICE or HSI agent, perhaps armed, who's threatening you and asking you to sign a piece of paper allowing you to be voluntarily removed. So we need to really build up folks understanding that they will be supported throughout if they choose, as they should, to exercise their rights to all the due process that they are entitled. And I think we finally need to make clear to all of these families that that support extends beyond legal support, but really helping them with the long-term effects of this. As a nation, we are going to have to deal with extreme long-term effects of the atmosphere that's been created by this administration. That fear and chaos is a trauma, particularly for children. Whether they're U.S. citizen children, as you've heard, whose parents have immigration issues, or immigrant children. We are going to have a generation of children who are facing a trauma that is imposed by their country's leadership. And that has long-term effects that we don't even understand at this point in time. So when the administration ends and we seek to reverse so much of the damage in this area as in so many others, it's a very difficult and deep and long-term endeavor. As I've said to folks, we can't expect to turn around all the damage by using a sort of Cheetos approach, which is look for the orange fingerprints and just get rid of everything with orange fingerprints on it. It's not enough, because we will have to deal with the long-term effects of what has occurred so far. But it's important, as you've suggested, that we get started on that endeavor right away and make sure that everyone understands through policy statements, through policy enactments, through just community manifestations of support for all of these families and the trauma that they're experiencing occasioned entirely by the federal government.
I contend consistently that there is not a crisis of immigration. It is entirely manufactured, and that neither the Democrats or the Republicans, one more filled with barbiturate than the other, but that neither have really looked at the issue of what is to be done to have a humane, meaningful system of supporting people who are into forced migration. And I just wonder, in the remaining moments, Mustafa, Tom, we are promoting both of you, you may not want to be, to administrative heads. What is the narrative that really should be established in this country to look at the issue of immigration? Mustafa Shiste and Tom Sines?
Well, you know, I think we have to continue to assert that immigration is one of the defining elements of our country. It makes us distinct in the community of nations, and we are better for the number of immigrants we take and the diversity of immigrants we take. We are also, I think, a country which not only celebrates immigrants but protects them. And I think here it's a salute to the legal community, of which Tom is an important part, that the resistance to Trump has been a very determined one, has been by and large quite successful. I mean, the fact that President has not been able to enforce any of his policies through tweets is a huge tribute to the role that the legal community and the Constitution has prevailed. That's why he's so upset about it. He calls our constitutional protections and the code decisions like loopholes, and that constantly incenses. So we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are still a country of laws and a country where the constitutional protections are important, and there are organizations and individuals who are here to protect them no matter who the president is. And the long arc of our history, I think Trump will be an aberration, and the constitutional protections will prevail.
Tom Sines?
I think it's important to note that both parties have really taken advantage of the lack of knowledge in the general public about our current immigration system and the flaws and discrimination that are inherent in it. Now, one of those parties has more explicitly exploited that ignorance in the general public, and the other has relied on it to keep the pressure somewhat muted to act and act immediately to address these issues. And that broader lack of knowledge of the current system, I hope, and through the efforts of lots of folks, including the Migration Policy Institute, I hope that it's beginning to break through, that in fact we have a system that is deeply flawed and has been deeply flawed for a very long time, that discriminates more or less openly against immigrants from particular countries, that really deprives all immigrants of due process that we would expect in any other arena of the law and policy. But we really need to tackle that lack of understanding of what people face. And I think it's breaking down through the great work that's going on in academic institutions, but also because folks are seeing more of it, whether it's seeing the separations of families or it's seeing the raids that are occurring in communities or understanding the potential impact of arrests on colleagues, on friends, even on employees. I think that's beginning to deepen people's understanding of what is a very complicated set of laws, but that has been really unfair and discriminatory and not reflective of our constitutional values as a nation.
And we're going to...
So I think that has to be a part of the narrative.
And we have to leave it there. Tom Sines, President and General Counsel of MALDEF, Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Mustafa Shiste, Director of the Migration Policy Institute at New York University School of Law.
Luchando al pacto de la libertad. Ya es tiempo de romper las cadenas.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.